Starting Tech News Weekly in 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, welcome to Tech News Weekly. I'm John Bub, and here with me today is, of course, John Prosser. Of course. Who else would be on today?
I'm back.
You may notice that we're one person short today on Tech News Weekly. Andrew Zirin, he's not here today. He's dead. I'm sorry about that. No, he's not dead, but that's a horrible joke. That's a really bad joke, given what he's dealing with right now.
He's not dead. He's alive.
No, I'm sorry for that, Andrew. That was a horrible intro. Andrew is dealing with his cat, who's very sick, and he's at the vet right now trying to take care of his cat. So it's just me and John today, the two Johns.
Yeah, I think, okay, let's take the last 2 months, okay? We're looking at a time span of 2 months. How many episodes have I been in those 2 months? Rather, it'd probably be easier to think about how many episodes I've missed. What are we looking at? Maybe one or two episodes I haven't been here?
Well, I haven't been here for some, so.
True.
I don't know.
I'm becoming a regular. It feels more often than not.
Yeah, more often than not, you've been here.
Good.
So, before we get started with the news today, I want to talk about my trip to Chicago I did last weekend.
Oh, yeah, you went to C2E2.
Yeah, C2E2, which is the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo at the McCormick Place in downtown Chicago. It was a heck of a lot of fun. It was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I was there for all 3 days. It was a heck of a trip. And I got to actually go to a convention with a bunch of friends from the Gonna Geek Network. Stargate Pioneer, Naki, Willie Nelson, Chris Farrell.
Wait, you went with Willie Nelson?
Yes, Willie Nelson. Not the Willie Nelson. Okay, but yes, his name is Willie Nelson. That's really his name.
So there's someone else named Willie Nelson. Gotcha.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun hanging out with them. They gave me a nice, cool little shirt here, which is really cool because I don't actually even have a GFQ shirt. So, Andrew.
You don't have a GFQ shirt?
No.
We got to get you a front page tech shirt then.
But I don't have a GFQ shirt. I even have a leather coaster. For Gonna Geek.
They have coasters?
All I've got are business cards that I made myself for GFQ. That's all I've got for GFQ.
Oh, shit.
Well, so, right now I think I'm leaning towards dumping GFQ and going to Gonna Geek. They at least give me free stuff, so. Friday, Gonna Geek had a podcast panel that they hosted, Everyday Podcasting. I forget the exact title, but it was like Everyday Podcasting something, something, something. And it was amazing because, like, everybody was expecting, you know, we'll be happy if we get maybe 10, 15 people to our panel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we looked at the app. On the application that they have for C2E2, you can see how many people have liked certain panels or events or guests or whatever. And, like, before the panel, we looked, and it was, like, over 100 people had liked the panel. So we're like, okay, so maybe we'll get a little bit more than what we were expecting, because you know how it is. Everybody will like something, but then how many of those people will actually show up? You know, right. It's those people that are liking it. Do they come? Do they not come? More often than not, they'll probably not come. So about 15 minutes before the panel started, we noticed there's a line to get into the room that the panel is going to be in. And we're like,
oh, God.
Holy crap. People are lining up for our panel. And ended up having about 100 people for this panel. People that were interested in podcasting, others that were already podcasters that wanted more information about, you know, what Gonna Geek does. Mm-hmm. It was an awesome panel with the five of them, or six of them, actually, with Naki moderating. It was really cool. They talked about networking and the benefits of having a network like GFQ Network or Gonna Geek and just being able to rely on other people.
Yeah.
So that was Friday. That was a lot of fun. Walked around. I met a whole bunch of people. I met a friend that I've known online for like 8 years. Never met these people in person, but like what? I've known this one person for 8 years, and uh-huh. I finally got to meet them in person, and it was just awesome meeting these people. So,
did you have any John Bub fans come up?
No, but I dressed as a speed racer on Saturday and Sunday. I actually partaked in cosplaying, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I saw that on your Facebook
photo. So I guess that was close to, you know, people being fans of me. So I talked to some really cool people. I actually want to play an interview that I did. I talked to this guy, this illustrator named Jamie Snell, and he has mm-hmm. some pretty cool information about what he does and just geek culture at comic conventions. So I'm going to go and play that. It's about 2.5 minutes, so I'll just go ahead and play that right now for you guys.
Get your popcorn ready.
Hey, Jamie, how is it going?
Doing good. Con's going good.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and what you're doing here.
I'm a freelance illustrator. My friends over here decided to get me to come to C2E2. I've never been to it before, so it's my first year.
Okay.
So, enjoying it so far. Just trying to network, talk to people, get my artwork out there.
So what kind of stuff do you normally do?
I do a variety of things, but I work for Lucasfilms a lot, so I do a lot of Star Wars artwork.
What do you like most about coming to these cons and illustrating for other people?
The diversity of the characters themselves. I mean, I like my version compared to like Sean's version. How he would draw something is always awesome to see that kind of stuff. Especially if it's like Star Wars. That's always been my passion since I've been little. I love drawing Star Wars all the time. So some of my favorite characters to draw.
What do you think draws a lot of people here? Is it this that
Pencil.
They want? What's that?
You said what draws a lot of people here?
Yeah.
Pencil.
Okay.
What draws a lot of people here? I don't know how to put it in words, but I guess the geek side has come out in a lot of us, and a lot of the movies now, like every month there seems to be some sort of geeky movie or TV show or, you know, Netflix series or something of that nature. So the response to the people is they want more of it. So they got collectibles, they got t-shirts, they got artwork, and some people want to buy that stuff. Like, you know, back in the 1990s, it was hard to find maybe two superhero type movies in a year.
Right.
Now it's like one every month. So I think that brings a lot of people here, so they get that collectible.
So the culture is just now so big that it's overflowing in
places. Into the normal layman type people.
Yeah.
So and that's why they changed some of the movies from the actual comic book scripts, is so people who don't read the comic book, they're able to get that comic book experience in a 2-hour movie instead of us reading it for 20 years.
Yeah, so it's bringing in a bigger audience, more people that have never really been interested in this stuff before.
And back in the day, you used to be able to only be able to get like geeky type shirts from, was it Graffiti? Now it's like you could go to Meijer, Walmart, Target, anywhere and buy geeky type shirts, leggings, you know, all that kind of stuff anymore. So it's everywhere.
Well, hey, Jamie, it's been great talking to you. Is there anywhere that you can have people go in and see your work?
If you can see it, I got my website right there.
Okay.
So it's jamiesnellart.com. I'm also on Facebook a lot. I do a lot of the talking and commissions through Facebook as well. So let's just look up Jamie Snell. You should be able to find me.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So that was Jamie Snell. He was a really cool illustrator there. It was fun to talk to. He had a lot of cool information to talk about.
Yeah.
So it was a good time. You know what was really cool? Is I actually got to go to WGN Radio in downtown Chicago and do a podcast from one of their studios.
Oh, yeah?
Producer Cody, which is with the Gun and Geek Network, is a producer for when the show's at WGN. And everybody was there was like, hey, you know, we're all here. Why don't we do some sort of impromptu podcast? And so Saturday afternoon, we went over to WGN Radio and did a podcast.
Huh? Didn't you used to work in radio?
Yeah, I worked for CBS and ABC for a few years.
Gotcha.
So it was a lot
That's
of fun
cool.
doing
fun
all that stuff.
Fun fact about John.
Hmm.
That's your daily dose of Suncast fun facts.
Yeah. I also have a vlog that I did. If you guys want to check that out, I will put a link up to it. If I can even switch the thing. There you go. There's a little bit of it. I did a whole bunch of like videos and stuff while I was there to put together a little vlog. So I'll put a link in the show notes for this. But it was really fun doing all this stuff. So that was my little trip to C2E2 Chicago. Thanks again to everybody from the Gunna Geek Network, especially Stargate Pioneer, who let me crash on his hotel room floor. So
let me crash on the hotel room.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's get it to the news today. So we had an Apple event.
Oh, God.
Tuesday.
So that's the show, everyone.
We pretty much already knew everything that was being announced of the iPhone SE, which is a 4-inch version, a scaled down version of the iPhone 6S. It's basically the same version, right, as the iPhone 6S?
I mean, internally, yeah.
It's basically everything the iPhone 6S is, except that it doesn't have 3D Touch. But it's got the same CPU, it's got the same graphics, it's got the same cameras, but it doesn't have the same 3D Touch or even the same Touch ID sensor. But it comes in a 16-gigabyte base model for $399, and it also has a 64-gigabyte model for $499. It does not have a 128-gigabyte model like you would find on the iPhone 6S, which right. doesn't really bother me at all. What do you think about this new 4-inch iPhone SC that Apple has?
So we've been reporting about this for a long time, either on my show from Page Tech. We've talked about it here a couple weeks, just covering it, what we think it's going to be. And basically, we've already said everything correctly before it was even announced. The only thing that I was like surprised by.
Yeah, it was one of those weird events where it was short. It was on a Tuesday, which is unusual, and it was just an unusual event to begin with.
Yeah, it was really, really weird. They talked about, you know, the government, which I expected them to tell us that, you know, encryption and the government is bad, and we expected that. And then after that, they talked about recycling for a while. And then speaking of recycling, here's the iPhone 5, sort of. What I expected was just a smaller version of the 6 or the 6S design. I was kind of surprised that they went with the iPhone 5 design. We initially reported months ago that that Apple was planning on having an iPhone, like a smaller form factor one, 4 inches, and it's going to look like the iPhone 5. But then the rumors quickly developed into it's just going to be a smaller iPhone 6S. So that's kind of what that sounded reasonable to me, just have a smaller iPhone 6S design. But it's literally just they just took the iPhone 5s that were left over and put some iPhone 6S internals in it.
You know, I didn't actually get to watch the event, so I'm not exactly sure how that event
That's
went.
Okay.
I'm just going off of hearsay since we had technical issues that I had to deal with, which was
Not we almost streamed live. I'm glad.
Almost. We were supposed to, except for
out.
Those technical issues.
I'm glad it didn't work out and we didn't stream it because it was awful.
Yeah, it just, we would have been too cynical. I think it would have been just, oh, God. Yeah. So they also announced, well, let's finish up this iPhone SE discussion first. What do you think about it being a base of 16 gigabytes? Should they have done 32? Or is that just something that they would have, it makes sense for them because it's a lower budget device?
If it was $350, then that'd be awesome, I think, for a 16 gigabyte model. It's just $50, I think, too expensive for 16 gigs. And
okay.
I don't know. I mean, some people are saying, you know, it's good for emerging markets. And I don't know what the hell kind of emerging market you're in, because $400 isn't the price point.
But Apple's always been a premium device. So
right.
to me,
it doesn't look like they're really aiming for the quote unquote budget market or what we've created as the budget phone market.
But technically it is budget for Apple because this is the lowest cost iPhone that you can get on contract, period, for an iPhone. This is the cheapest
it's
you
more,
can ever
quote
have
unquote,
gotten an
affordable.
iPhone.
And something that is not being noted for whatever reason, a lot of blogs and whatnot when they talk about the iPhone 5, or not the iPhone 5, the iPhone SE, they, yes, they have the price, quote-unquote, free on contract, but most of the carriers aren't offering contracts anymore. Like with Verizon, no. You can't get a two-year contract. That's the number one network, so it's like $17-$20 a month. So, eh.
Yeah, that's a little weird. So
that's as much as an iPhone 6.
Do you think that this device is always going to be like a mid-cycle device now? Because normally when they do iPhone debuts, it's normally either with WWDC or they do some other mid-range type of devices, or in September.
I think it depends on how they judged this event, how they think this event went. They couldn't have just an event in the middle of nowhere about this model of phone. That's not enough. They stuck it with another iPad announcement, and that still wasn't enough. So I don't know. Apple just has a lot going on right now, and maybe if they kind of like reevaluated how they're going about their events and kind of said, okay, these products are launching at this time of the year, these products here. So I think it would make sense to launch it just kind of in the middle of everything, in the middle of launches for the quote-unquote flagships, but they've got to stick it with something else.
I'm not wondering if they should have just avoided having an event altogether, because I don't know that they needed to. I don't think they needed to have this event.
No.
I don't. I think they would have been better off just not having an event. I mean, yeah, it's neat that they did this, but I don't know that they needed to have an event. It didn't really... It wasn't the same as the other events. And at this point, I've been saying this for a while, we sort of have Apple event fatigue at this point, where there's so many events. You're getting like three events a year now from Apple, and none of them ever live up to what we were getting when Steve Jobs did keynotes and stuff.
Well, yeah.
So I don't know that having this many keynotes, these many events, is really helping Apple anymore. Especially with something as small as this event was. Like, they could have just... I mean, it was nice that it was so much shorter than their other events, but did they need to even do an event?
I think that the number of events is not a big deal as much as just the quality of the events. Like, there was something about this one that didn't even feel like an Apple event. It was just kind of
like
weird and awkward for everyone. Say what?
Like, it was rushed?
I don't...
Or just not
just
well
like,
put together?
It just wasn't well put together, and they didn't. I think most of it was the fact that we knew what they were going to talk about. We literally, there was not one thing that we were surprised by, not a single thing. We knew what it was coming. We had pictures of these things. It was nothing shocking. It'd be like if you know how sometimes when they update their MacBooks, it just happens on their website.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if they just did an event of that. Like, surprise, we updated the internals of the MacBooks.
Which they did not announce, and some people were really hoping they would.
I kept telling everyone they're not going to do it, but for some reason, everyone's like, MacBooks. No, they don't.
Everybody
they're going to
really
announce a new iPhone.
Yeah. So they also announced a smaller 9.7-inch iPad Pro at this event, which is basically an iPad Air. More than it is a iPad Pro. It's got similar features to the iPad Pro, but it's kind of a mix of the iPad Air and the iPad Pro. It's 9.7 inches. I'm going to bring up the specs here so I can read it. It also supports the Apple Pencil and some of the other stuff. It's got Night Shift. It's 32 gigabytes starting at $599, 128 for $749 and $256 for $899, which is ridiculously expensive for this device, I think.
Yeah. This is just too much. Like, I can understand the whole, you know, multiple models of phones. I get it, because, and especially when the iPhone is the number one product selling for Apple. Cool. If you can afford to make another model, go ahead and do it. But to have an iPad mini, an iPad Air, an iPad Pro, and now a smaller iPad Pro seems ridiculous. I don't know how they're going to continue to maintain selling these things.
I was listening to I was listening to Paul and Andrew on What the Tech yesterday, and they were talking about how, in all honesty, this new iPad Pro 9.7 inches is really more akin to the iPad Air than it is a Pro. Yes, it has certain things from the Pro, but it's more like an iPad Air. In reality, it seems like they should have just made this a successor to the iPad Air. I don't think they need to do any more iPad Airs. This supersedes the iPad Air, in my opinion.
Yeah. I don't see them doing that and just keeping this, whatever this is, and not giving us another iPad Air, but I see what you're saying. It makes sense. You make sense. Apple doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's, but Apple hasn't made a lot of sense with certain things lately. I mean, look at Apple Music. Some of that makes sense, but there's a lot of stuff there. Beats One Radio. Let's be honest, you know?
Oh my God! Which while you were struggling to figure out everything for us to stream that day, before they actually like went on stage, they were just streaming music from Beats One Radio. I couldn't handle it. It was awful.
No, it's
absolutely terrible.
Well, now they're going to do those. They're trying to do TV shows, which I don't understand.
They're
looking to do. I think one of the they've got two shows rumored now that they're coming out with. One's going to be with Dr. Dre,
and another
one's supposed to be about apps. And those are going to be the first two original TV shows from
Apple. A TV show about apps?
Yes, because that's never
been
done before.
Are they high?
Yes.
What the hell is even happening?
Yeah,
Apple.
I don't know.
I am disappointed. But
I think we were all a little disappointed with this event. But then again, I've been disappointed with a lot of stuff Apple's done or announced lately. So
I'll be honest. Most of the time, I'm never disappointed with an event. I know where to set my expectations, and the events are fun. Even if I know exactly what they're going to talk about, they still make it fun. This one wasn't even fun. This one just flat out sucked.
Being completely honest there, huh?
Yeah. It was awful.
So don't ever invite John Prosser to an Apple event then.
Don't. Especially after this one.
So let's move on to another story here. Intel is officially slowing down the pace of CPU releases. This is something they've been doing for a while now. They do this tick-tock cycle, which is on the tick process, on the tick cycle, they do a new processor. And then on the talk cycle, they optimize that, and the architecture, excuse me, I can't talk anymore. The architecture is optimized. During the tech years, the chip giant upgraded its manufacturing technology to make circuits smaller. For the latest chips, for instance, the tick cycle reduces traces from 22 to 14 nanometers. Then during the talk years, it uses the same circuit size and manufacturing technique, but it changes the microcode, often drastically, to make chips faster and more energy efficient. Now they're looking at a three-step process, which they're calling a process, architecture, and optimization, which is PAO for short. You're starting to see this now with even Kaby Lake, which is their latest or third generation of their latest CPU. And they said that we've seen this for a while now, that they've been struggling getting these chips out now for a while.
Yeah. Right.
What do you think about this new release cycle that they're doing that's going to be a three-step process where they're going to take the chip, they're going to reduce it first, and then the next two steps, they actually try to optimize it over the next two steps?
I mean, it sounds more efficient that way, right? I mean, I'm not
like a...
It does,
but it slows everything down.
But isn't everything moving way too fast, John? I think it's just, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a big fan of anything really at this point anyway. Especially
so you're done with technology. You're just
Yeah,
out.
I'm pretty much done. I'm just going to walk out now.
I hate technology.
I don't have a problem
with
this.
Like anything.
I hate everything. No, to me it sounds
more
efficient.
Why do you even do front page tech anymore?
I know, that's what I'm saying. You know, I should just quit.
Just hang up the hat.
For someone that's not, you know, completely paying attention to Intel's release cycle, it's just meh. Cool. I don't know. It's more, you would know more about that than me. To me, it just sounds more efficient. It makes sense to me. Apparently, it doesn't to you.
Well, what it is that you have Moore's Law, which is essentially, you know, doubling the speed of everything every single year or something like that. I don't know the exact definition, but it's something along those lines. And now we're seeing Intel actually struggle to keep up with that yet again, where, you know, we've seen them struggle with Skylake. We actually heard that there's this disconnect that basically Intel screwed up with Skylake, and they had to redo stuff that made it more difficult for earlier operating systems such as Windows 7 to run on this newer generation.
Yeah.
And now they're having more difficulties actually shrinking the die from, you know, anything smaller than 20 nanometers is extremely difficult. And they've gotten it down to being so difficult that it's taken them multiple steps to actually shrink it and optimize it instead of just being a 1-2 step.
Yeah.
So in turn, what that means is that we're actually going to get, I think, 3 different CPUs of the same generation and in about a 2.5-3 year period, whereas now we're getting 2 within about a 2.5 year period. So that means it's going to be slower for the next generation processor to actually come out, because you're having this CPU generation now last longer, or actually take longer to
complete.
That's essentially what this means. So this might be actually good for other devices, because it's going to slow that development. But it's just one of those things when if you're a PC and gaming enthusiast, this might be bad news for you, because you're not going to get the greatest and latest as fast anymore.
Right. So John, me, is not paying attention to the schedule of anything ever. So to me, it's just, cool, whatever, do what you need to do. But if you're a hardcore gamer or super into building your own PCs, keeping an eye on that stuff, then you might be affected by this, is what you're saying.
Yes, pretty much. Speaking of gaming, Sony is reportedly developing a PlayStation 4.5 4K gaming. Microsoft is the only company.
4.5K.
Yeah, 4.5K. So Microsoft isn't the only company with the Xbox One considering a console refresh. Sony is now reportedly working on a slightly faster PlayStation 4 that will deliver 4K gaming. Of course, it'll have updated graphics and an upgraded CPU to handle those new 4K graphics. Do you think that Xbox, Microsoft, and PlayStation really need to update their consoles?
Do they need to? No.
Yeah, do they need to at this point? Because if you think about it, PC gaming is technically way ahead of these consoles. Because consoles are one of these things that they come out, but they don't really change a whole lot.
Yeah.
Over the years, whereas PCs, you can change that every single year and get the latest and greatest.
Right. I don't think they need to do it, but it's cool if they do it. It's something that's
4K
definitely
TVs
cool.
Are a thing now, so
yeah, you're assuming that a good number of your customers are on 4K TVs currently, which I'm curious on what the numbers would be. Even if people aren't on 4K TVs, by making this update for them, I'm sure some people will go out and get a 4K TV, and when people are ready to go out and get a 4K TV, then boom, they have 4K gaming ready to go.
I think it makes a lot of sense, though, for them to do this, because if you compare it to PC gamers who actually generally prefer 1440p gaming, this will actually get them in line with that now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way I see this, is that you have PC gamers, which generally prefer, you know, multiple monitors, ultra-wide, and 1440p resolution for the gaming, whereas with gaming consoles, you're stuck with this inferior hardware at 1080p. And we do have these displays now, 4K TVs, that support higher resolutions.
Yeah.
It just feels like consoles are actually lagging a little bit behind.
Consoles are the upcoming Intel release cycle.
Yes.
They're just a little bit behind.
Much like car technology as well. I just think that it makes a lot of sense for Microsoft and Sony to speed up or actually have some sort of hardware refresh for their consoles to get something better out there faster, because generally these consoles are, as we've seen in the past, with the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, that last more than 5 years before the next generation comes out. I think that's too long of a time frame these days with the way that PC gaming is.
Yeah.
If that makes
Everything's just moving faster now.
It is.
Especially, so you want to move like, on to... I feel like, you know, if you are a PC gamer, getting your hands on that hardware is a little bit easier than it used to be. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think things are moving a little faster now, and it totally makes sense for the consoles to move faster with it. Or at least they're going to have to keep up.
And I think it'll just be better because it'll give people an excuse to buy another console.
Yeah. Which, of course,
make people, you know, 3 years later buy another $500, $600 console. So that's got to be good.
Yeah.
So there's one other story here that I kind of want to go over. Netflix is limiting video quality on AT&T and Verizon. I know you just saw this story, but apparently last week, as T-Mobile's CEO, John Legere, announced that his company's BingeOn program was expanding to YouTube. They also made this strange point that even the mobile-optimized 480p Netflix streams on T-Mobile were higher resolution than what you get streaming via AT&T or Verizon. And this set off an entirely weird debate on to who was right. Was T-Mobile right that 480p Netflix streams actually look better than Netflix streams on AT&T and Verizon? And Netflix did come out and confirm this week that, yes, indeed, they are limiting Netflix on Verizon and AT&T.
But not AT&T or Verizon. The networks themselves aren't limiting. It's Netflix.
The networks,
which is crazy.
Yeah, Netflix. They're limiting it to 360p and 600 kilobytes per second, which is crazy.
Now, why are they doing this? Is it just a way for them to save bandwidth or what?
Exactly. That's what it is. They said that, well, our customers are extremely data conscious, so we're just doing this for them. So even if you wanted to stream at a higher bit rate, higher quality, or HD from Netflix, if you're on AT&T or Verizon, you couldn't. There's just no way. They don't have anything built in. They do say now that they're going to figure out a way that you can have some sort of option to say, hey, go ahead and let me consume more bandwidth.
Yeah, we'll figure out a way for you to have the option. They could just put it in the app itself to toggle it, but whatever. And I think this is like something that you should be paying attention to if you're a paying Netflix customer and you're paying to have HD streams and you're not getting HD streams. I'm just shocked that this wasn't AT&T and Verizon and it was coming right from the source. But I think this really goes to show you that when T-Mobile announced Binge On and said that streams are going to be optimized and kind of put down to 480p, a lot of people are like, well, that sucks. 480p sucks. And I said during one of the episodes of my show that on your mobile device, you can't really tell. And if people this whole time haven't been able to tell that Netflix is at 360p, this is definitely proof of that.
Oh, for sure. But I do think that it's kind of crappy of them to not even give you an option. I think they need to...
They should have told someone. Somewhere.
Yes.
At some point.
This should have been something that was made clear to users of AT&T and Verizon that you are only getting 360p. But I also think that, which is fine, I completely agree that there should be a data-saving feature of Netflix. But for you sure. should also have that choice of if you wanted to consume more bandwidth and stream higher quality from Netflix on your mobile device, you should have that option. You shouldn't be limited to only 360p.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, they said they did it for the customers because they're very data conscious.
Yeah,
well, in that case,
nobody complained until now.
Yeah, you should have told the customers. Maybe.
Until T-Mobile's Jean Ligier said something, nobody cared.
Right.
Which is, isn't that fascinating?
Which, I mean...
What
happened to net neutrality at this point? Like, what's even going on?
There is none.
Okay, so there is none. I mean, we kept saying that, you know, T-Mobile was really questioning net neutrality with, you know, throttling stuff or... I'm sorry, optimizing stuff, as T-Mobile would say. And then Netflix comes out and just kind of screws the pooch on everyone.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that are like, net neutrality, everyone should get Netflix in an equal way. Unless you're AT&T and Verizon, and we're going to make it not that way. I don't know, man.
It's just one of those things.
You're just shaking your head.
Yeah, well, it's just, like I said, I don't mind them wanting to do that, but you just got to be able to tell people that you're doing that. I mean,
yeah,
AT&T got in trouble for throttling unlimited customers and not telling them that they were being throttled.
Yep.
There was a huge stink over that, and people, they actually got sued over that.
But this is Netflix.
And here's
you don't
Netflix
have to say
doing
anything.
Essentially the same thing. It's the whole transparency of it all.
Which in this case, there was none. So
no. No, and the fact that it took another company to bring this to light is just hilarious. So I think that's pretty much it, unless you want to do that one other story, but I don't think it's all that interesting. I mean,
yeah,
it's interesting, but it's stupid.
It's interesting. But
so, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at youtube.com/frontpagetech or the website frontpagetech.net. You can find me on Twitter at John_Prosser, J-O-N, not J-O-H-N. And that's how you can find me.
With the underscore, of course.
With the underscore. Yep.
Awesome.
You got to make that sound when you type it in. You got to go.
Okay. Doing your own sound effects now, huh?
Yeah. You have to. Or it won't work.
So you can find me on Twitter at Suncast. That's spelled with a K instead of a C. You can follow us at GFQ Network as well. Follow our YouTube, Tech News Weekly. We're on there. Subscribe. Rate and review us on iTunes, which is really good. If you can do that, it'll help us out. Also, if you can, support us on Amazon. If you go to gfq.co/Amazon, and whenever you purchase something, we'll get a little bit credit from that. It doesn't cost you anything, but we make a little bit of a percentage from whatever you buy, which is very helpful to us because we got all these things for the studio that we got to continually buy. You know, cables got to replace.
We got to get Andrew lights.
Be replaced.
We have to get Andrew lights so his studio isn't dark anymore.
Yeah, got to buy him new LED light bulbs because, you know, he's got to be cool like that now.
Right.
And that's it.
That's
Take care, guys.
Later.